is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
We have a little thing here on the show. I'm going to say, I think partially inspired by Colin Firth's character in The Kingsman, Manners Maketh Man. It is the Ned and Josh Etiquette School. And we like to talk about social situations where there's just something that happens with a complete stranger. And who needs to be polite to who? Or what do you do in this scenario? Or how do you, like holding the door open for someone? Or what do you, all these sorts of things, we get to the bottom of it. Now, in lockdown, you might be thinking probably not of a lot of a need for this school at the moment because you're not seeing a lot of complete strangers. That's the whole point.
And honestly, anything that you have, like any kind of, someone didn't do this for me or I wasn't said this, get over it at the moment. Just get over it.
Well, here's the thing, right? So this was actually a very, very good display of politeness and all that sort of thing. But it's really, we're into the minutiae of politeness now with the etiquette school because we've gone through some of the big topics of, you know, how far away should you open a door for someone if they're like 5-6 meters back, that's not your job to open the door for them. It's all that sort of stuff. We've gotten through all the big ticket items. Today, I've got to bring to you something that happened to me yesterday in my building. It was on my floor. Somebody got out of the lift on the same floor that I parked my car on. They obviously parked their car on the same floor as well. I mean, that's what I would imagine. And I've gone to open the door for them, hold the door open. And they've given it a bit of ta.
Mm.
To ta, I said, you're welcome.
Okay.
So they went, ta, and I went, you're welcome. And I thought to myself, ta is too small of a thank you to give a you're welcome back. I immediately felt weird saying you're welcome to ta.
Yeah.
I think ta, do we think, here's what I think, right? Well, you're a co-professor of the etiquette school. I think ta almost doesn't even need a response in any way, shape, or form. You don't actually need to do anything if somebody says ta.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
I think it's even less than a cheers. That's how small I think. I'm just trying to find out what ta even means. It just means thank you, but I don't understand why ta.
No idea either. Cheers.
This is, yeah, but I...
Because cheers could give, you could give a no worries to cheers. You go, cheers, no worries.
No dramas.
But if
no
you say ta and you go, no worries, that it still feels like too much.
Ta.
Still feels like too much.
Ta is more of a noise than it's a word,
yes.
I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a... it's not a noise that needs a Gesundheit or whatever.
No.
It's more of a... Because this is it. I don't know what ta means. It's ta.
It's probably...
Ta.
Yeah, it might even be thank you in another language or something like that. I'm not 100% sure.
I think it's a dessert thank you.
Mm.
If I said to you, hey, dude, would you mind going and getting me a bottle of water? And then you were like, yeah, I will. And I was like, okay, thanks. And then you went and got it. And then you brought it back and I went, ta. It's like the dessert to thank you. You've already laid down the foundation of a thank you. I said, thank you for getting the water. And then when you bring it back, it's a little cherry on top of it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It's like a full stop.
In this scenario, I've already left the room. Yeah. And as I've left the room, you've gone, thank you. And then I actually hand you the bottle and you go, ta.
Yeah. It's like a full stop on a thank you.
Yes, I like that. So for it to be out there on its own, it's possible.
It's just a noise.
But it doesn't deserve any kind of a response.
It doesn't deserve, yeah.
I'll tell you what ta is. Ta is a verbalization of a head nod. So you know when you do a head nod, like a thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
And you would never, imagine if someone gave you a head nod and you went, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah. That was none of my... Yeah, that was all of my pleasure.
From being polite... If you say you're welcome to a head nod of like, thank you, that goes from being polite to aggressive, I think, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned, I have seen a story this morning that has melted my heart and it has kicked
me
onto a kind of a weird tangent, actually, and I want to get into it with you. And I think... Canberrans need to sit back, listen, and think to themselves, yeah, I kind of know where you're going with this. Or, no, how dare you? How dare you besmirch the name of man's best friend? Because there has been a viral TikTok of a golden retriever that its owner says sits on a porch every night and watches the sunset. So it sits there and just watches one day disappear beyond the horizon and... Yeah. And just sort of
the most self-aware dog.
It just laments the passage of another, well, maybe a good day, a bad day, whatever. It just reflects. It just reflects every day, same spot, sits on the patio, watches the sun go down. And
it'd be it'd be a good thing to do for a human being who can actually remember the course of the events throughout the day, not just like, oh, yeah, I remember waking up and now I'm here, so
did
I guess
did a bit of running
can't
around,
have been that bad.
Ate some food. But this is it. So this video has been seen a million times, people putting soundtracks all over it and stuff, and just having a lot of fun with the idea of a very, very emotional, kind of an emo golden retriever. And I think if you've had any exposure to a golden retriever, they all can be that at some times, which is why I want to actually talk to you about this topic this morning, Ned. Dogs, it's been scientifically proven that dogs have evolved to elicit emotional reactions from us. Like, they know how to put on, like, there's a reason they call it puppy dog eyes. Like, they literally know how to make us go, oh, okay, all right, here's more food than I was going to give you. Like, they know, they know how to do that. Do you think there are certain breeds of dog that are better at it? Like, do you think there are dogs that you go... For you personally, because I'm trying to work out whether this is an even... For me, I do think so, and I know the dogs that I feel like,
species-wise.
Breed-wise. Do you go... Yeah. Like, for me, for example, and a lot of people might not connect with this, I think Rottweilers are incredibly emotive, because they have little eyebrows, so I think... Yeah. And when they look sad, I just go, oh, okay, all right, then that's fine. Here, have all the food in the world.
Good thing for Rottweilers is they are very rarely sad.
Yeah.
Usually people do exactly what a Rottweiler wants them to do. So, I don't know. I guess Huskies kind of, but Huskies just kind of seem like... Huskies, the noises Huskies make always sound like they're terrified of everything that's going on.
Yes.
Every time I've heard a Husky make a sound, it's like, oh! It's like, just chill out, mate. It's okay.
They are very, very vocal. They do have a chat, essentially.
Yeah, it's like they're always in the middle of the most pain they've ever been in.
Does make me wonder what's going on to Huskies around you generally.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Something that I've noticed a little bit of that pre-pandemic was very much one way and now it's the other way was that older people and a take-up of phone usage has skyrocketed because now you've got everybody using QR codes to check in everywhere. And one thing I've noticed is that from before the pandemic, if you're a younger person, you could expect to be lectured on occasion about a very specific thing, and that is being on your phone all the time or... Even worse, if you were walking with an older relative and you dared walk while using your phone, you would get a lecture about, geez, just focus on what you're doing. What are you doing? Focus on walking, one foot in front of the other.
I have, and it's only been honed through these skills, but I have such... I don't even have that great of vision, but I reckon I have 20/20 peripheral vision. I am so good at being able to... If I'm on my phone, I could tell you what the person five people in front of me's shoelaces were. I'm so good at being able to tell when people are in front of me, what they're doing. Are they anxious? Are they going to like dart in front of me because they think I don't know what I'm doing? It's I've got it down to a fine art.
And I'll say that I agree with that in the concept that it's been a very long time since I've stuffed this up while walking, while texting. Yeah. Like, I haven't bumped into anybody, give everybody a wide berth. But the interesting thing here for me is I have nearly bumped into, this is probably the sixth person, it happened over the weekend, six people, I would say, in the last 2 weeks, all above the age of 55 that I've nearly bumped into, have been on their phones. So what's happening, I think, is people of a bit of an older vintage are using QR codes and then, oh, I've also got a text message. And then now, using their phones while they're walking for the first time ever, and they're stuffing it right up. And
it's not an easy thing.
Beautiful. It is the tables turning. And I am literally one more person away from being like, can you oldies get off your phone while you're working? Can you just focus on what you're doing, please? Sweet.
I'm not kidding when I say I really have had to hone these skills. And if old people think that they can just come in and go, yeah, I'm good. Here we go. Watch this. No. I've been doing this for 15 years. Yeah. This is not something you pick up overnight. It's the people that just walk in essentially think that they turn invisible when they go on their phone and then people can just like move through them.
Yes.
Really does amaze me.
It's a skill.
Especially at the moment where it's like, oh, I've scanned my QR code. That means I have to stay exactly where I am until I'm completely checked in. I'm not allowed to move at all.
It's literally like and I mean, obviously, at a lot lower level of skill, but it's like if you were... This is the role reversal that I'm picturing. It's like if you went to the circus and watched a bunch of people juggle, you're like, can you guys stop your juggling while you just... And then you just tried to start doing it, thinking it was super easy. Like, actually, juggling takes a little bit of practice, doesn't it? Yeah, it's a little bit of a skill.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a guy, a man, he's 33, who has swallowed a phone. So that's where we're starting the story. Now, he's going to the doctors. It's a Nokia brick phone, so honestly, they could have pulled it out and might have worked. The doctor's obviously pretty nervous about the ion batteries that are in it and millions of other chemicals and stuff that they that are fine for phones, not so much fine for esophaguses. So they've gotten it out. The guy's all fine. But
imagine if this is like the opposite of chocolate with dogs. You know that Oreos campaign? It was like, Mom says chocolate isn't good for dogs. And dogs can eat phones, but humans can't.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. The stories I've heard of some people's dogs, that actually absolutely checks out. Now, the doctor's come out, though, and he said that the patient didn't reveal why he swallowed his phone. But the doctor said he added that it must have been done on purpose. And that is not something that you usually get the clarity of when something, a foreign object is swallowed or inserted into a human being. The excuse that's always given is, oh, I slipped and fell on it. No, you didn't. No one's ever slipped and fallen on it.
Yeah, when you're in, when you've got, and this is usually another entrance, but when you hear of these stories of, and my friend's an emergency room nurse, you won't believe the things that she says has been found in. But this is, you've swallowed the phone on purpose. There's no, whatever, you know, when you see packaging where it's like a choking hazard, it's like a little picture of a baby with the cross through it of like, no, don't let your kids play with this. This is the opposite of a choking hazard. Like, this is, no, this shouldn't be a hazard at all. There's no way you could accidentally choke on a phone. You shouldn't have it anywhere in that scenario at all.
In the same way we don't put that sticker on tongs, we shouldn't have to put it on phones either. They shouldn't be things that you can swallow.
I watched your brain then. I watched your eyes where you're like,
what could I say?
What's the weirdest thing to swallow? And you did. You got it absolutely bang on. A pair of barbecue tongs? Why would you be swallowing them?
I thought I was going to say card. I'm like, that's too silly. You got to tone it down. It's a Monday morning.
A little bit of a fun game of improv this morning. You've absolutely nailed it, quite frankly.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, I'm having a bit of trouble at the moment in my apartment, speaking of which, with something that I think is coming across as creepy, and I swear on my life that I'm not doing it on purpose. It's just coincidence, and it's starting. I feel like I can see it becoming a problem in my life, right?
Okay,
so I moved apartments because my other apartment didn't get any sun. It had awful views. It was always dark and stuff in there. I've moved to a brand new apartment that's a lot lighter. It's higher off the ground, which my other apartment wasn't. And I have neighbors. As opposed to having like people who live above me in an apartment, I actually have neighbors now, which is kind of cool.
And look, I do feel like stressed too because it's just explained kind of oddly then. Ned's like on a second story. Like you're not like 60 centimeters higher off the ground. It's like the foundation's a couple of extra brick layers higher than used to be. You're fully.
I got a crane to.
You're fully a second story above like the ground. So
it's a little townhouse. All of my stuff's on the second floor. That's not what. I guess we kind of. We'll come back to that in a minute. But I met my neighbor the other day. Just over the fence. I was coming back from the shops and
very home improvement. Yep.
It is. Except instead of what was Wilson?
I think his name is.
But what was he? Just nosy, I guess.
He wasn't nosy. He was like a wise Yoda that just used to be on the other side of the fence and give Tim life advice.
Now, how funny is this? I was like, oh my God, I thought we nearly had... I'm not going to say what this lady's name is because I don't want to reveal anything, but her she's a radiologist.
Oh, wow.
I thought she was going to say radio announcer. I was going to say no. Yeah, now we're battling back and forth from house to house. But no, she's a radiologist. She's absolutely lovely. But now that I've met her, I feel like somewhat inclined to wave at her every time I see her.
Because for sure. Yeah, I know her. Polite. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Maybe I hear something and it's like a Pavlov's dog that I like feel like I have to get up. Every single time she is outside in her apartment, like in her backyard area, hanging out, washing, I don't know, watering the garden, doing whatever outside, for some reason, I'm always by my window, Norman Bates style, looking down at her from my apartment. And I'm starting to feel like I'm the creepiest dude ever.
It's just a coincidence. Yeah.
It's just a coincidence. Every time I'm walking past that window, she's outside. And she always looks up because I guess the movement catches her eye. And so it just looks like I'm just staring at her from my apartment.
So wait, let's go back.
Insane.
Because I don't think you meant to say, like, so when you don't hear any, you're in the kitchen doing your own business.
I'm just in the
it manages to sync up perfectly with when she's out in the yard. Yeah,
it happened like five times over the weekend. Yeah, you know, where I was just like walking past and I looked down and she was there and I like just waved at her.
Yep.
It's getting to the point now where her waves are getting a lot like, more hesitant.
Why are you always at that window? Okay, so I know what you need to do. I know what you need to do.
What?
Because I've already worked this out. You guys are on the same schedule for jobs that involve either you being in the kitchen or her being in the backyard. You're in sync. You need to, because you're the one that's noticed this problem first, change up what you're doing. So if you get a coffee, like it may be on the quarter to an hour, start getting a coffee at the quarter past. Yeah. So you're not in the kitchen at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Or I could set up like a massive, you know, the mirrors that they have in hospitals so that no one bumps into anyone coming in the corner. Set one of those up on my roof so that I can see if she's down there.
I know to avoid
the window. What were you going to say?
Certainly not any more or less creepy than what you're talking about. Jesus. What I would suggest, honestly, is like
Macaulay
Culkin Home Alone style with the, like, you know how he had the marionette that just does the dancing?
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, just so that you're always in the window and it doesn't... That way, when you go to get a coffee and you accidentally see someone, it's not like, oh, it's the dude. It's all fine. Or not worry about
lockdown?
This because you live in a townhouse, so you can't be worried about this sort of stuff because you're going to see your neighbours occasionally.
How much longer are we in lockdown? This
is too long, I think.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Now, Josh, what are we actually in? Week four or week five?
I think this is week four of the lockdown. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, the beginning of week four. Now, so far so good. In all honesty, there's been some darker days. But overall, I feel like I'm doing pretty all right. Like, I'm not struggling that badly. If you are, please reach out to someone. Any friends that you have.
Reach out to each other. That's exactly what we always say. Reach out to each other if you've got some friends, you know, living alone. The way the bubbles all work, some people can be very on their own. So make sure you definitely reach out to people. But you're kicking along just okay, you just said.
I'm doing all right. Except for one very surface level thing. So it's not, no one freak out. But
very interested to hear what this is because
it's gross.
I've had a similar thing and all.
Yeah. It's gross, so be warned, okay? My thing's gross. Your thing isn't gross. I wouldn't out you like that.
Okay.
But I am in the process of growing a beard.
Mm-hmm.
And now this will go against everything that I said about how I'm doing fine, but there will come a point in this lockdown where I want to physically alter the way I look.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to shave my head, so I will shave the lower part of my face instead, and that will be a good compromise that I'm
going to do. Mike, our producer, did that over the weekend. He went beard free. Yep.
Now I'm a little upset because he's left me high and dry, and now I'm the only one in the beard camp, so that's whatever. But I was checking my beard the other day, and I noticed that I had, once again, gross, but I had an ingrown hair on my chin.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Now that's... It's not fun and it hurts a lot. And the way you're meant to deal with it, you tweeze it out.
Is that
now, because
what
I
you
live?
Do?
Well, you meant to pull out because the hairs, the follicles infected. So if you pull it out, you don't squeeze it. It's not a pimple. Yeah. That's Ned's advice that he's also, by the way, not backed up by anything. So look into it. But I went to pluck it, and because of where it was positioned on my chin, it was so weird because I had to like hold the skin.
You can't
see
it
properly. Yeah, I couldn't see it probably because I got the beard. I was having to hold my neck skin up like this over my face. And then I was trying to use the tweezers on the opposite hand.
Minutes.
Would have been so much easier.
Minutes or
if
hours?
I could have just. I would say minutes.
Okay.
But more minutes.
Closer
to an hour.
Yeah, okay.
More close to an hour than to half an hour.
It's amazing
but
how
if
time
I was,
just falls off the clock in lockdown, isn't it? It's amazing.
Honestly, I might have been carrying on and dragged it out because I had nothing else to do that day. But this is a problem that would have been solved if I had just. This probably also exposes too much about our friendship. But if I had just said to you, "Hey, can you just pluck this hair out of my chin?"
Yeah.
You said to me the other day you were like shaving the part of your, like just the back of your neck or whatever.
I get
just
weird
get
fuzz
touching
on,
up some hair.
I mean, a lot of people get it, but I get this weird fuzz on my neck below where my hairline stops. So like, there's like the back of your head. There's like where they square off your hair, and it's nice, and it's like there's hair,
it's
and
like
then it's this
stubble.
Weird fuzzy stuff on my and I always get it. So basically, between haircuts, I'll get that taken care of a couple of times. And
exactly right. You
usually
said you were trying to do it the other day.
I
but
was looking in
you
the
can't
mirror.
Do it. There's so many mirrors.
Myself, like maybe I could do that, but you know what? I'm never going to get it straight. Like the hair at the back is not going to be squared off because I can't see what I'm doing. You need,
here is my look, because you've experienced it. I've experienced. It's funny that they've both been with hairs, but here is my, I guess, unsolicited advice. don't try to do things on yourself that you know you can't do.
Yeah.
Because okay. I in the process of trying to get one hair, pulled out 70 and was like nearly in tears because it hurts so much. Like,
well, ironically, sure, created three more new grown in hairs.
Exactly.
For that.
Yeah. You haven't said, you're wearing a haircut and you probably don't know, but I'd say it's probably quite uneven back there. I don't know what's going on. I'm just saying, try not to operate on yourself in any kind of way.
The funniest thing about this is, for me right now, there are probably a bunch of barbers and hairdressers going, yeah, we'd love to help you with that problem if we're allowed to.
I know!
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
I've just found a little bit of an interesting story from overseas about a criminal, somebody who has found themselves in a little bit of trouble with the law, but something that has been said by their defense attorney is obviously objectively hilarious. Let me tell you what it is. So basically what's happened is he has gone into a pharmacy. He's actually, I'll go right back. This guy's 46. He started up a relationship with a younger woman. And you know, she's, you know, I think in her 20s here from what it's saying here. And he, look, without going into too much personal details, apparently he had a bit of trouble keeping up. And so he's gone into the pharmacy and stolen some Viagra. That's basically what's happened here. So when I say keeping up, I mean literally he's gone in to get the Viagra, stolen the pills from a Lloyd's pharmacy over in the UK. And what's happened here is he's then been caught. It's a shoplifting thing. So it's like I would imagine he's gone to like a Judge Judy style court. Like it's a bit of a misdemeanor type situation.
Yep.
And what's happened here is the police also found some other substances at his house. So it's become a bit more of a thing. But the actual shoplifting part of this, he's got like a guy defending him, like a lawyer. And his lawyer has said to the press, his lawyer's name's Ian. I'm going to read you this, and you tell me whether or not if this was your lawyer saying this, you would be angry that because he mine being defended
I'm
for
guessing this is going to be a zinger.
Shoplifting Viagra. Here we go. This is the full quote that he said to the media. This guy's lawyer.
Hit me with it.
He formed a relationship and needed the Viagra to enable him to keep up with the young woman he had formed the relationship with. He is not a hardened criminal.
Good.
It's really good. It's a really good gag. Really good. It's really, really good. But it's also not the kind of thing you want your lawyer standing at the front of the court doing.
No.
You don't want him cracking wires out the front. You're like, mate, can you focus? Yeah. Can you please focus? Like,
He just gives it one of these. Actually, I've been prepared here. Wait. if you get hard for more than four hard time for more than 4 hours, don't call a doctor. Am I right, guys? I got these all day.
There'll be no hard time served here. It's like, all right, you're fired, Ian. You're absolutely
enough.
Fired.
Yeah.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit meja.com.au.
Hit 104.7.